Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, you motherfucker. Okay. All right.
That's a brand name, like Pepsi, that's a brand name. I stand behind it, I guarantee it. They know that, even if they don't know me any more than they know the chairman of General Mills.
What I'm talking about
is when you chop my dope down to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5%, and then you call it Blue Magic, that is trademark infringement. You understand what I'm saying?
All right, guys, I'm here. It is Monday, Manic Monday, August the 10th, 2015. Like I said last week, we marked the one-year anniversary of my show, Staying in Lane with D. Scott. I'd like to say thank you to all my listeners and everyone that buys my books and my merchandise. Definitely want to acknowledge the fact, because you're going to see it all over the news tomorrow anyway, the one-year anniversary of Robin Williams' suicide. Because, like I said, last year we started my show, which helped me format it based on the mental illness component, but also based on the fact that I don't script my show. So anything that I write at any time could go out the window. And I had all these ideas and thoughts about what I was going to start this show on last year. And I ended up getting on radio for 2 hours and talking about the Robin Williams suicide and then the suicide with the Carol's daughter and, you know, the other guy from Rosalian Isles and just it becoming a real big epidemic. So definitely want to acknowledge that. I'd also like to acknowledge the fact that over the weekend was the one-year anniversary of the incident in Ferguson that marked the one-year anniversary of Mike Brown's death and well, murder. And we see that the police have done it again in Ferguson. Definitely want to be very clear that my people, Saladin Kanala, sent people down there with his Isaiah School Initiative. They raised money for people to go down there for the media to be able to report what was really going on in the black community, because all we were seeing was that, you know, black people were being unruly. And then we had Nato Khalif, who's from, you know, right outside of, right by where Mike Brown, and special shout out to him as well, because I believe he just celebrated a birthday. Yesterday or today was Nato Khalif's birthday. We actually had him on the show where he was doing peaceful protests with his children, with his queen. They would take turns. They would go out there, and they definitely gave us more information than we got from Don Lemon on CNN, and that's for sure. So definitely want to acknowledge that as well, because it's very difficult for me to get on air and then not talk about things that are affecting, you know, just all people, but mostly black people. And to my white friends, please don't post things like this. I saw something today on a girl, and I know for a fact she's a good girl. She's down in Florida. White girl, love her to death. Her part, you know, her almost her whole family is in law enforcement. And someone posted a meme of it's Gene Wilder with the Willy Wonka, and it says, if you don't want to be accosted by the police, don't break the law. And for the sake of not getting into an argument about it, I didn't reply to the comment because I didn't know the person. But that's also with this whole All Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter, this whole thing. That's like saying, like, that just because I'm speeding, I deserve to die. Or just because I didn't use my left blinker, I deserve to die. Just because, I mean, Straight Outta Compton is coming out. I believe it's tomorrow or Friday. And what a lot of people don't understand is that that was an entire race war situation as well. They used to go, that was during the era of Rodney King, where they beat a black man almost to death on television. This was on film. This was before the internet age. And I think that people forget about that, where they rioted in Watts again, you know, and then Rodney King subsequently dies, you know, later on. But during that time, NWA, Straight Outta Compton, that was the driving while black situation. So this has been going on for a long time. So if you're sitting there and you're one of those people that are saying, All Lives Matter. And then, you know, we're posting things about Cecil the lion, but yet, you know what I'm saying, we're not, you know, going to be outraged about people killing human beings. I stand by what I said when I told y'all before. You know, yes, all lives matter, but Black lives just seem to be the ones that no one cares about. We seem to be the ones that are getting killed at a higher rate. You know what I mean? So then when you have the police say things like, there's way more police that are doing good things out there than bad things, you know what? I don't think I believe that. I don't think you believe it either, because if you did, you wouldn't have to say it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have to tell somebody, oh, my God, I'm a good person. People should just know that. So it comes a time when people are now being, you know, are afraid to get pulled over by the police, white and Black. You know, like I said before, in this country, if you are poor, you're the same thing whether you're Black or white. If you're on drugs, you're the same thing whether you're Black or white. If you're a prostitute, you're the same thing whether you're Black or white. They treat you like the scum of the earth, and that's what it is. So I wanted to get that out of the way because I don't like to go all emo on y'all at the beginning of the show, and there's so much pleasant things that we could be talking about, like the fact that I am in Pittsburgh right now. I'm sitting in this palatial estate owned by my aunt and uncle, and my little cousin is here. He would be upset if I was calling him little, but he's getting ready to write his first book as well, so we're going to try to give him, you know, the family discount, the little hookup or whatever. But he's always been in the entrepreneurial spirit. He comes from a, you know, a pretty prominent last name out in Chicago, Illinois. I ain't going to say it because, you know, I don't want y'all Googling stuff. But anyway, so it's funny because I'm sitting here and I'm having my mimosa. That is the drink of the evening. And I'm having this conversation with my uncle, who is a therapist. And, you know, y'all know I'm in therapy. My uncle trying to school me. He's like old school D.C. He comes from a very prominent family as well. His father was one of the deans at Howard University. We're talking about, we're going way back. So, you know, when the elders talk, you listen. And so we were talking about my pending trip to Houston. No one knows when I'll be there. No one knows how long I'll stay. Those closest to me know when I will be there. And it's funny because my uncle says to me, Stephen, keep this. So Uncle Lou tells me, he says, so, you know, I've watched you since you was a little girl. You know, you always just been strong, too strong for your own good, and, you know, all these things. I'm like, yeah, Uncle Lou, but niggas these days, the Negroes, they not worth a damn. It's not worth it. It's not worth, you know. And he says, oh, you shouldn't be like that. I said, I'm not bitter at all. I just want somebody to tell me the truth. And so I was telling him about a situation that I had in Houston. And I told, you know, I told my family the truth, and I told my uncle, and I said, well, I'm not going to call. And my uncle says, you don't think that they gauge you and that they know? They know you're not going to call, so Willie the ball is in his court. But you shouldn't let pride be. So I said, no, that I'm not going to fault this. See, I was raised by the woman that you married to and my mother. I ain't calling no dude. I said, at the end of the day, I am a girl. You want to talk to me, you could talk to me. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to call you if I'm in your city or what. I don't have to talk to you. I don't have to talk to nobody. Then my uncle go on and tell me I'm going to be old and alone and all this other stuff. I'm like, I'm not going to be alone. Just because you're single, ladies, doesn't mean that you're alone. You know what I mean? And so I went to a wedding over the weekend. I'm going to get back to my uncle in a minute. But I went to a wedding over the weekend. And apparently I gave this really amazing speech that I don't recall because I was on some type of white liquor and grapefruit juice, you know, grapefruit juice is slimming. So it was my first time emceeing, being the hype man at a wedding. So definitely shout out to Bree and Joe, Augstell, who got married over the weekend. I was there. Saldine was there. It was in Toronto, so it was on King Street West. If you're not familiar with Toronto, that's like, you know, a little trendy area. It was at Casinos, Il Casinos, which is an Italian restaurant. For who they are and what they do, that wedding personified them to the T. You know, you go to a lot of weddings, and actually, let me stop, because I haven't been to a wedding probably in about 8 years. I just don't think we're getting married anymore. I think everybody just want to be a baby's mom or just, you know, the side dude. That's what I think, but I could be wrong. So I get there, and we're greeted with champagne and Prosecco, which is the Italian version of champagne, and we're greeted by the DJ, wink, wink, who is very French. You know, it's very clear that he's very French, long ponytail. So if you guys are on my Instagram, you guys can go take a look at that, at miss.d.scott. And so if you go on my Instagram, you'll see there's all these pictures. And I try not to show any of my people's, we'll put in quotation marks, faces, but very French guy. You know, everything is great. His father's a renowned chef. He's a DJ because that's what he needs to do. Long hair, just very nice accent. So we're at the wedding. And you have to understand that when you go to Toronto, it's a very different dynamic than the States because a lot of the people there are from Guyana. They're from certain parts of Africa. They're from the Caribbean. The only black people, like true black people that are over there, were people that were on the Underground Railroad to escape slavery to go as far north as they could. Now, there are certain places in Nova Scotia that are still very, you know, racist and very, you know, very down south, we'll say, but you're talking about Nova Scotia. That's way out. So, you know, you get there, and this is my first time doing this. They hand me the mic. We're stuck in traffic. Toronto is no different than New York. We get there. Yes, everything is great. And, you know, there wasn't that many people there from the 716. So what I was saying was that it's the 416 and the 716 being combined. So after everything goes down and they're happy and they're young, you know, these are young people. They're not too young, but they're on that cusp. They're the 26 and 27 range. And they're, you know, it's just, it was really nice to see the hope. It was really nice to know them separately as individuals, to know that they did not like have to struggle through a lot of the things that people in relationships are struggling with right now, like social media presence and these false personifications on social media and these thirst traps being posted and this DM effect. And one of the most humbling things was I talked to the officiant, didn't even know she was the officiant. And she told me, she says, let me tell you something about the United States. They are disgusted in Canada with what we're doing over here, with the condition and the treatment of black people, because they can't fathom it. So to hear this woman, she was from Guyana, and she was the officiant, and she said to me, she had went to, where was she? She was in Mississippi. She couldn't even remember. She goes, but I know it's one of the worst southern states ever. I said, oh, that'd be Mississippi. So she says they were driving, and she became very, very ill. She's from Canada, you know, so since she became very ill, they had to pull her on the side of the road. And she told me that her friends did not want to enter the drugstore with her. You know, and a lot of times when you're driving, because, you know, we travel by air, we travel, you know, by car as well. I don't mind packing up the Jeep and just getting on the road, you know, because, you know, Saladin will drive or, you know, somebody in my family will drive. And when you're going through those southern states, you do have to be careful because there is a lot of rhetoric and there are a lot of those flags that y'all seen on Dukes of Hazzard. Let's not forget that. And on the steps of South Carolina. So you're passing through all those states to get to the black meccas like Atlanta and, you know, to get to Kentucky Derby. So she's telling me that she went in the store and she said the minute, this was an older black woman, she said the minute that she walked in the store, she was greeted by an older white man that was standing there with a loaded shotgun asking her, what do you want? And she says, I'm very sick, and she has a very thick, heavy accent. And if it wasn't for the fact that his granddaughter, supposed granddaughter, who's a very young white girl, said, no, 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 no. And she said, stop, please. I'm not American. I'm from Canada. And, you know, that makes me very upset because it's almost to say as if, you know, in that moment, she was saying whatever she needed to say to not stare down the barrel of a 12-gauge or a 20-gauge or maybe even a 30-gauge. She didn't know because, you know, I asked. And for her to say, I'm from Canada, and then for him to be unarmed about her being from Canada is almost like saying that if you were from the States, I know I could blow you away right here and nothing would happen. But if you're from Canada and I blow you away, we got a consulate problem. We have a border problem. We have an immigration problem. We have all kinds of problems. And so she said that even when she told him she just needed to get some type of like Dramamine or some type of, you know, allergy medicine, that the entire time he had the gun on her in the store. And she said her friends didn't even pull into the parking lot with her. They waited on the side of the road with the car running. And that is a terrible experience for someone that had never been to the South in the state. You know, you're supposed to be pulling over, getting peanuts in Villa Rica, Georgia. You're supposed to be getting peaches. You're supposed to be, you know, eating pecan pie and having collard greens and, you know, tasting the true traditional Southern flair. And you're greeted with a shotgun. So at this wedding, Joe is a very tall, white, red-haired man, you know, and he's marrying this woman from the islands. And so I guess it's a little bit different because I don't identify Joe as, you know, quote-unquote, like just a white guy, because Joe is the guy that started Niagara Falls Street News, him and Demetrius Nix in Niagara Falls. I report from them. You can go on YouTube and punch in Niagara Falls Street News and see a bunch of my footage when I was looking crazy, probably some Versace leggings or something on, looking crazy, interviewing people in the city. But that's what I do, because we wanted to make sure that people had an online presence and just an in-town feel to the news, because a lot of what we see on the news is all Buffalo or it's all Rochester or it's all, you know, and Niagara Falls was just involved in a huge, huge statewide Mexican cartel drug bust. And if you knew how small our city was, that is utterly ridiculous, because it should, that should have never even happened. And so people are like, yeah, but we got that work. You ain't got no work. Y'all was at the bottom of the food chain. Look at the picture again, because they posted the diagram as to who was the distributors and so on and so forth. And it's sad because these are men that I know personally. Like, I've seen them, you know, out and about. I've seen them at the grocery store. I've seen them, you know. And it's just, it's sad that you are now caught in something that's on federal indictment and all this other stuff. And so, you know, everybody's like, oh, free this person, free that person. No, don't free that mother. Don't free him. If he really did it, let him sit in there. You know what I mean? I don't know what y'all need to do or what kind of bills y'all got that you have to go sling a powder, risk your life, your whole family's life, and then be involved in Mexican cartel type stuff. This ain't you, not ghost. This is not power for real in real life. Like, get a job, just like everybody else. If you can't get a job, create one. That's where we're at right now. So now that I brought up power, y'all know I got to talk about it. Oh, my God, they give me heart attacks every day. I cannot. First of all, 2 weeks ago when they didn't have the sex scene, it was like the boringest power I ever seen. I was like, I don't watch this show to be watching it. I'm looking for the sex scenes. There weren't any, not on the last one. The last one, they really made up for that with Tommy. But then you bring the guy from Entourage on the show as the attorney, and I don't want to spoil it for anybody that didn't see it, but I mean, they're doing some excellent, excellent writing on the show by a black woman, by the way. So I definitely, you know, I can't wait to see the season finale of that. I'm going to suspect that Tasha's going to have to take out Angela, but that's just me. And Tasha might have to kill Kanan too, and that might be what it is. But then again, it goes back to previous shows where I said that black women, we are loyal to a fault. Y'all can just drag us through the mud, do whatever, and we're going to still be body body this mean piece. But now let me get back to the conversation. My therapist, Uncle, was having with me. Speaking of black women, and he says to me, I've watched you growing up, and I remember, and, you know, we were talking about Jerome Bettis, who was somebody that, you know, we've hung out with him. And I don't mean like, just no, that's like a friend of mine. Like, that is somebody very, and if I didn't have that wedding to go to, I would have been when he was being inducted into the Hall of Fame. That's my boy, you know, and him, Cordell, that whole section. And we were talking about when I first met Hines, who actually, when I first moved to Pittsburgh, my girlfriend at the time, you know, the first person she introduced me to was Jerome, and then, you know, it went from there. We were always friends. No, nothing, you know, never like that happened. But like I said, we could tell you stories. But we ended up, he goes into the Hall of Fame, and that's amazing. And, you know, so we're talking about that, my uncle says. You know, I remember, and I said, but you know what? I've had a good life. I've been loved by men that I loved back. And so I'm just in a place where it's like, if I don't ever get married again, if I don't ever have children again, I'm okay with that. If I do get married again, if I do have another baby or two, I'm okay with that too. But I'm not in a place where I'm forcing anything, and I'm paying attention to the signs, and I'm paying attention to the energy. And when you're dealing with someone like me, because I have a lot of energy and a lot of it is pent up and a lot of it is coming from a place of help, you know, you want to help people. But my uncle thinks that I'm coming from a place of hurt, and I'm not. He's like, you got to get back out there. And even if it means getting your heart broken, I was like, I ain't worried about this heart, this little old thing right here. Not worried about that. I'm worried about being embarrassed. Like, I think to be embarrassed is worse than getting your heart broken. So for you to sit up there and rep somebody, and I'm just very old school feminine and female. Like, I'm not supposed to be on my social media claiming you and this is bae and, you know, putting your picture up and all this other stuff. And then you're talking to 50 other people. You know, I'm not supposed to do that. However, If you choose to claim me, that's different. You're supposed to profess, provide, and protect. So, you know, there are certain things that I'm just not going to waver on. And one of them is, if you're not claiming me, I'm not claiming you either. You know what I mean? Because I might wake up tomorrow and I don't like you anymore. And that's the truth. I do it all the time. So we talked about my situation in Houston. I'm going to be honest. I had two situations in Houston. That's right. Two. See, the problem is you ain't the only one trying to be the only one. Everybody always thinks that, you know, and I keep it gangster, I keep it G, but any man that I've dated probably in the last, like, you know, 5 years especially, was always my friend first. So if something transitioned into something else, I'm always hopeful that in the end we can salvage the friendship. But what I don't like is I don't like to be lied to and I don't like to be played for a fool. So if you just want sex, just say that. We don't got to go into these conversations 10,000 times a day and this and this, because maybe that's all I really wanted too. But because you're a man and I'm allowing you to lead the situation or the relationship, you stated that you want something else. So maybe I'm trying to accommodate that because that's what you want. That's where you're leading me to. So the other situation goes back to the technology. You know, I had an opportunity that I could have chosen to stay with a friend of mine and so on and so forth. I did not choose that. Originally, I did, because I was being petty and I was being spiteful. But then I said, you know what, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stick with my original plan. However, I'm going to put a twist on it, and I'm going to stay where I want to stay. And, you know, it is what it is. But my uncle's like, well, you know, you should call him, talking about the person that I was very enamored with. I said, no, I'm not going to call him. And I'm not going to call him because I'm a girl. And because I didn't do anything wrong. You were the one that fucked up. And it wasn't even nothing. It wasn't even nothing big. It was just something I did not want to devote my energy to at the time. And you needed a cleanse, and I needed to back off. And he's in a situation. I want to be in a situation. So we needed to back off for a minute. And so, you know, my uncle's like, but you don't think he knows you're going to call him? I said, it would take a lot of vodka for me to call him at this time, and you were able to sustain without me for 3 weeks, then you should keep sustaining, because I don't need to feel like I'm not wanted, and I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to get with somebody and then find out that this is what you're really into, and I was just like the hovercraft, or I was just like a drone, or some sort of, you know what I'm saying, like musing for you for a moment, but I'm not really what you wanted. Because in the end, you know, if you really care about somebody, you're going to talk to them. You're going to, and especially somebody that you've been dealing with for months and months and months at a time. Every single day, you're involved in this person's every aspect. The other person was just somebody that I was cool with. You know, when he found out that I was coming down, he's like, hey, why don't you just come stay with me? And I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. Because in my mind, I'm like, nah, my people is going to call. My people is going to call, and then I'm going to have to this one over here, even though it's just a homie, you know, but he's from up here. So my other friend is actually from up here, which I spoke about him to this particular friend before. He's like, oh, no, just stay here. You can take my charge. You can do this. You can do that. And it would have saved me a grip of money, but I was just like, no, nah, I'm just going to go stay where I was going to stay, the little condo I was going to stay at. And originally I had booked to stay at Hotel Derek, which shout out to Hotel Derek. They are very good with their cancellation policy. And so I'm the type of person, I like to tempt fate. So I left the reservation until the last minute, and then I canceled it. And not because, you know, I'm waiting on somebody to call, but I don't like to make snap decisions. I like to, when I'm completely done with somebody, I like to say, you know what, I left the door open, or I, you know, did this, and it didn't work out. Look, people can say whatever they want to say. You might have deleted my phone number. You could have deleted me off all social media. You have my email. I mean, it's on my website, for God's sake. So, I mean, my one email. So if you had something that you wanted to say and it was that important to you, I'm a female. So I this is what I do. And especially this person that knows me so well, so he thinks, you know, at the end of the day, my uncle feels that I'm being too harsh. And what my uncle doesn't understand is I said I just don't want to be embarrassed. And I felt like I was being embarrassed because I'm already having to share your time and your energy, and I have to share it with the internet, I'm not going to do it. So when we get to Houston, everything is planned. I'm still hanging out with my friends. I'm still, you know, hanging out with the homies, but I just felt like I was going to take that time to just kind of chill and, you know, do my thing, do whatever it is that I want to do when I'm in Houston. We got a realtor, I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce his name, but we're looking at homes out in the suburbs, you know, because we're pending a move down there, perhaps. So we're, you know, looking at some property. But just for the most part, just to get my mind off things and just to be able to relax. And then, like I told my uncle, I said, listen, if he calls, that's cool. I may talk to him, I may not. I said, but here's what I do know. I said, I do know that if I'm in somebody's town and I feel like the friendship is worth it, then I will reach out. And then at least I can say, you know what, I reached out to you, da-da-da. But I'm the female in the situation. It's not my job. And you're the one that's in a situation. You're the one that has, you know, all these issues. I don't have any issues. I'm here to drop off my son and to enjoy a couple of days with my friends. And that's what it is. And it's funny because I always used to threaten him. I used to be like, you know, I'll come to your town and tear shit up. You know what I mean? Like, and post it on the internet so you can see it, and then I won't talk to you. And I've done it before. I mean, if you've read my books, any of my books, one of them being Stay in Your Lane, The Diary of a Hot Mess, then you would know that I would go to Florida all the time and not talk to Victor and not in a deep text. So with that being said, like I said, you know, my uncle thinks that I'm being too harsh, and he's like, you know, pride. I'm like, it's not pride. It's called I don't want to be embarrassed. Nothing to do with pride. This has everything to do with, you know, if I want to talk to somebody, I'm going to talk to them. If I don't want to talk to somebody, I'm not going to talk to them. So for self-preservation purposes, especially when you have somebody that's, you know, dealing with a funny energy and things like that, I don't have time to be, you know what I'm saying, like worried about, you know, what's going to happen and all this anticipation and anxiety. I don't have it. Like, if you, you know, if you're going to use me, like, just let me know. Just say, like, this is what it was for. And I think probably the most hurtful thing in that situation, it wasn't even nothing, is the fact that everything that I said to this person, I said this before, you would allow me to go 2 and 3 weeks and believe that what I said to you was true, what I thought was going on, instead of just being a grown-up and saying, listen, you know, you don't got to talk to me, whatever, whatever. But this is actually what I thought, what I felt, and what I was thinking. And that's that. You know what I mean? Because I would like to be friendly or, you know, have a friendship or keep the friendship intact, just maybe not now. But I'm not, definitely not angry, definitely not hurt anymore, because unfortunately, the longer that things go from me, the easier it is for me to just cut them off. So, like, for example, if I leave Houston and I haven't heard anything and I'm not going to call you because I didn't do anything, you're the one in the situation. I'm very clear where I've been the entire time. You know, I belong to the public, but you don't. You belong to people, maybe. I don't know. So, you know, I just feel like as a man, if you want to put your pride down and that's what you want to do, then you do it and then we'll cross the bridge when we get there. But what I'm not going to do is come to a town where I spent my own hard-earned dollars and I worked my ass off for and be moping around over some dude that couldn't care less. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not going to do that. That's not what I do. So I'm feeling like I need to get with that Bill Withers tonight because that's what I feel like.
Not to let you
you just walk on me. And I'm sure he meant well. Yeah, but when I talk was through, I said, brother, if you only knew, you'd wish that you were in my shoes. You just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up.
That was my current mood. You know, people be having their current moods up. Bill Withers is my current mood. But so we're all excited and getting ready to go down there tomorrow. So my son's actually going to see his dad and get to hang out with his dad and his sister and the dad's new wife. And, you know, there's an art to learn how to be a new, you know, blended family, you know. And that, you know, I don't like to talk about all the pettiness and ridiculousness that went on prior to that, because really the most important thing is the children, you know. So the minute that, you know, you choose to remarry and you have a baby, and then those, your child is my child's sibling. So, you know, it is what it is. So we had a coming to Jesus meeting with Boom yesterday. Let me be clear about this. You know, everybody always thinks like, oh, you know, he's just such a, he's 11 years old. He does 11-year-old kid stuff. Like, you know, not clean the kitchen, throw the spoons and forks in the garbage. Like, yeah, that's what he does. So don't ever think that because I don't post about it or because what you see is always positive that he's still not an 11-year-old child, because he is, you know. That's why it's very important that children are around their fathers, you know. Just, you guys don't understand the impact of just being able to watch your father get ready or watch your father get dressed to go to an event or to get dressed to go to work, or just see the perseverance or the dedication that he has in whatever kind of job he is, especially with my ex-husband, you know. He's very, very proud of what he does, and my son is very proud of that as well and wants to take after his father. And that comes from many, many years of always, you know, saying, you know, your daddy's just not here because he's a superhero and he's in Venezuela or he's, you know, in Nicaragua or Colombia doing X, Y, and Z. And, you know, so it's just, it's what we do as parents to ensure that our children, you shouldn't really ever talk bad about the other parent. And, you know, I always have to preface things by saying, you know, I love your daddy, but, you know what I'm saying, daddy's not making good choices or something like that. Because when you start getting into the whole, you know, we don't need your father, let me just be clear, I need help. I did not set out, and maybe a lot of women are different nowadays, I did not get married and have a child to raise him by myself. That's just not what I was going to do. I'm not that strong. I'm just a female just like everybody else. But at the same time, there was strength in being able to marry the man that I did have a child with. You know, there was rights that came along with that, and there was an honor that came along with that, that we all have the same last name, that, you know, we don't have to go to the Maury Povich show. And in some cases, they do. you know. That's not my case. I'm too paranoid, but I'm too paranoid. But I just feel like, you know, a lot of people are taking the emphasis off family. And one of the things I had to come for a girl the other day because, and I wanted her to call the show actually because lately, y'all hear that? We over here in Squirrel Hill. We got the ambulance going on. Look, is it for Boom? But, he's upstairs. Okay. But, I got into it. We were talking about, Kamora Lee Simmons, and someone had posted a meme, and I'm going to actually talk about this. Someone posted a meme, and it says, how come Kamora Lee Simmons gets to have two baby daddies and one ex-husband, and nobody says anything, but if LaQuisha did it, it's a problem. And I was like, pause. First of all, Kamora Lee Simmons was married to Russell Simmons, which is one of the richest black men in America. That's first of all. Been on the Forbes list for many, many years. Second of all, if she wasn't married to Digimon, which is Amistad, that we know him on, middle school three, if she wasn't married, I think she was married to him, but even if she wasn't, she was with him for over 5 years. And then the white guy that she's with right now, she's also married to, and they just had a baby. Kudos to her, because she's older than me. She's like 42 or something like that. So some girl comes for me just a little bit. She was confused about her place in life. And she came for me a little bit, and she said, you know, well, how come us regular chicks, da, da, da. I said, first of all, listen to your verbiage. I would never consider myself to be a quote-unquote regular chick. And Kamora Lee Simmons had money before she even met Russell. She's always been about her paper. And she said, also, it's because she has money. No, honey, you're not understanding what I'm saying. She wasn't an Instagram model. She was modeling for Karl Lagerfeld himself, handpicked, okay, for Chanel. So she was a real model in real life. She came out during that Naomi Campbell, during that, you know, Claudia Schiffer, during that phase, quickly taken off the market by Russell Simmons. Even when she married, it was always about a partnership. So she ran a multi-million dollar company called Baby Fat, you know, which if you know her, then you know, well, maybe you know her, tell her I said hi, and blah, 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 blah. She's, you know, calling Kamora Lee Simmons a bitch and all this stuff. And I said, that's funny because do you know her? I said, see, this is the problem. I said, you are the reason why those people think that it's okay to kill the Sandra Blands, because look how you speak to me and about other women of color, and you're black. You understand what I'm saying? So this is what they think. They think, look, they disrespect each other, so why is it a problem if I shoot one? You see what I'm saying? So I said, I'm trying to fix the dialogue between us as a people and especially between us and our men. You know, let's start with gratitude, not the attitude. And then she starts going in and then blah, 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 blah. The bottom line is, I said, like I said, if you have anything else that you want to say to me, because you can't really come for me on no, you could die and come back to life 15 times and I would still have that sauce waiting for you. Pause the show. I said, because I think that it's important for us to keep this dialogue open, because there's a lot of black women out there that feel like, you know, they shouldn't be looked down upon because they have a bunch of babies dads, or they shouldn't be, and that may be the case, but don't go picking on someone that actually did it the quote-unquote right way. You understand what I'm saying? And you're mad because she has money. That doesn't make sense. You got the same 24 hours as everybody else. You know what I mean? You're not putting yourself in those circles. And so because you're not in those circles, because you weren't trying to be great, maybe that's all you wanted to be with somebody's baby's mama. That was never on my agenda. I need last name and rights to half. Half of whatever you got. If you got a Snickers bar, I want half of it. So really, I want 3/4 because I'm extra hungry and I probably got one of your kids to feed. I don't know. You know, but I just feel like, you know, we as black women, we attack each other and then we turn around and we attack black men. And then, you know what I mean? And so that's why you have people in Texas saying that Sandra Bland deserved to die because she was an uppity black person and she should have just shut up and so on and so forth. We don't even know, and that has nothing to do with this. You can't go around killing black women in a jail cell, period. Let me just be clear on that. And so, you know, it makes me feel bad that here I am ready to eat a face with a side of coleslaw, and then I have to stop and remember this is an opportunity to build or break. So I can either break this woman in half verbally, or I can build with her and say, you know what, maybe you should, you know, sit down and think about why you're mad at Kamora Lee Simmons and you don't even know her. Maybe we should think about, you know, I said, you can't be mad at another woman because her life choices were different. I didn't say better. I said were different than what you chose to do. I can't be mad at all these, you know, white girls if they're marrying athletes because that's not my genre. That's not what I go out on a daily basis and look to do is to find some athlete that thinks, you know what I'm saying? Like, but if it happens, that's great, but it would happen organically. It wouldn't happen, you know, just because that's what I was looking for. You know, I've never been one that was like, you know, I want somebody to just pay all my bills, this, that, and the third. And so my uncle says, sometimes my therapist uncle, you know, you're just too strong for your own good. And I'm like, but I'm still feminine, right? Like, I still look like a girl, I act like a girl, I smell like a girl. But just at a certain age, you get tired of the game. And you just say, look, what do you want? Why are you here? Who sent you? Because if you can't answer that question, then we don't need to move forward. We don't need to have any kind of relationship. So even if the person was 15 years my junior or 20 years my senior, which that would never happen because I would probably kill over and die. Because I said this mimosa, we call it the uncle syndrome. We see girls all the time. We be like, who uncle is that? Who uncle is that out here with the pro kids on with this girl that's our age? You know, but it was funny. I remember before my mom passed away, I was like, Mom, this old guy tried to talk to me. You know, and I was telling her, she says, well, how old is he? And when I told her age, she goes, well, honey, I'm sorry to tell you, that's your age back in now. And I was like, what? No. So, and I don't, it doesn't really matter to me whether I date younger or older. It doesn't really matter. You know, I take care of myself. I'm happy. I'm healthy. You know, I don't think that I look every bit of the age that I am, but hey, I can be. But when I open my mouth, it definitely comes out. That is definitely true. But, you know, like I said, we were at this wedding, met this kid, you know, everything was good. Nice looking guy. He was French, very different. I would date him. You know, he's Canadian, but not French Canadian either. He's French, like from France. You know, and it just, you, as a black woman, you need to kind of keep your options open and saying, like, I'm going to love whoever loves me. So whoever wants to show me some love, you know, I'm going to show them some love too. And that's where we at. You know what I'm saying? As I drink this drink, you know. Something else I wanted to address. You know, we talked a lot about these strong black women, these hard black women. And you know why we end up like this? Because who's making us soft? Who's taking the burden? Who's taking, like, these two cinder blocks off my shoulders to make it so that I have an easier day? Who's doing that? Nobody. Nobody. Get it, Keith? Nobody. So, therefore, what do you want me to do? So, one minute, you want me to be soft and docile. And then the next minute, you want me to be hard and strong. And it's just that I don't know anything other than to be hard and strong. So, if I end up in a relationship where I ever have to be the man in the relationship, it will not work. You won't get that bill. You won't collect $200. You know what I mean? So if I'm to be led by somebody, then it has to be, you know, somebody that's worthy of. And that's what my uncle is like. I just don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to be in a situation where I'm like the laughing stock. And he said, ah, but then that's your pride. And I'm like, the thing is, when it comes to love, I really don't have any pride. You know, we've seen that in the Victor chapter in the book, Staying in Lane, A Diary of a Hot Mess, available on Amazon and Kindle or www.stayinginlane123.com. I mean, we've seen that. But the thing is that I just haven't seen anybody that was really worth me making the effort because that person to me at the time was worth it. Is he worth it now? Probably not. But you know what I'm saying? Like, and we're still in communication. We're still cool. You know, everything is good. But I feel like, you know, that was just, it would be beating a dead horse. You know what I'm saying? And I don't want to beat a dead horse. I don't want to continue to go back to something and block a blessing for something else. And I just, you know, it's nice to be needed too. So I feel like if you can go through extended periods of time and not talk to me, and you were in the wrong, presumably, you know, not so much in the wrong, but the energy shift came from you and come from me. I was 100 the entire time. Then I shouldn't have to call you. And then if the phone call doesn't happen, it just doesn't happen. We let it die. And maybe in 2 years we can have a cafe con leche. Maybe I'll punch you in the face. I don't know. You know what I mean? But I definitely want to end the show a little early so I can spend some more family time before we get up in the morning and handle business. And from my girl, I think that you know, if you guys haven't watched the Nina Simone documentary about Nina Simone, it's specifically and exclusively on Netflix. I think it is What Happened to Miss Simone or something like that. It blew my mind because I had no idea that when she lived in New York, she was neighbors with Malcolm X. That her daughter actually was living with Malcolm X and his daughters for quite some time. So I definitely want to leave this show with a little bit of Nina Simone. He needs me.
He needs me.
But we'll talk to you tomorrow on the Tell the Truth Tuesday.
He doesn't know it, but he needs me. And so no matter where he goes, though he doesn't care, he knows that I'm there. He needs me. I ought to leave him, but he needs me. I know I'm not very bright, just to tag along. All the right or wrong, I'm his and I'm here. I'll be his friend or his lover, because my one ambition is to wake him and make him discover that he needs me. I've got to follow where he leads me, or else he'll never know that I need him just as he needs me.
Get away.
I know what you like.
Everything's slow. Baby, you love me.
Baby, you love me.
Baby, you love me. You leave me, I thought that you needed me. When the world got too much and you pleaded with me, who helped you immediately? How speedy of me. How could you deny me so vehemently? Now your body is shaking, trying to free it of me. And your soul is in control, trying to lead it from me. And your heart no longer has allegiance to me. Damn, I'm missing the days when you needed to be.
I know
what you like.
I know
what you like.
Baby, you love, baby, you love,
baby, you love.